This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chwee Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, unpacking a statement from the Prime Minister about how chicken subsidies were reduced because anyone could access them, including foreigners and Rohingya refugees, and so that money could be given instead specifically to cash aid for Malaysians.
So first, we talk about whether Malaysians-only policies might push away foreign workers and whether we can survive without them. And then, what kind of aid do foreign workers have access to?
So tell us, what did you make of the statement? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and so we talked about this earlier in the introduction, but I think it's worth just hearing it as a chunk because there's quite a lot to unpack. So yesterday, the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, said that the reduced chicken price subsidy is to enable the money to instead be channeled directly to the rakyat through the Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia cash aid. Now, I think it's worth pointing out that this was actually said during a Kenduri Rakyat event in conjunction with the Aspirasi Keluarga Malaysia Roadshow Programme. And it was said in Pasir Salat, in Perak. And this is the gist of it, right? So he said that the current chicken price subsidy was not only benefiting Malaysians, but also foreigners, saying that non-citizens working in this country were also benefiting from this subsidy that is only supposed to be enjoyed by Malaysians. The quote is, "If we give chicken subsidies, it isn't only Malaysians who benefit, foreign workers also. Rohingyas also buy subsidised chicken. That is why we give BKM money. We do not want to let foreigners enjoy the benefits of the subsidies."
You're right. Hearing it said like that actually does put quite a sharp point onto what is actually being said, doesn't it? You know, this goes back to something that we constantly hear, or rather, in a weird way, doesn't get also said enough. The fact that when we talk about Malaysians, we often refer to exactly that, Malaysians, right? But migrant workers, or even expats for that matter, work in Malaysia, contribute to our economy, contribute to our general well-being in many ways, but apparently are not thought of as deserving of the kind of help that Malaysians living here do. Now, I'm open to having a conversation about what can be given and how and differences, but I think these kinds of remarks seem to imply that they don't need any help, that they in fact are not supposed to get any help. And I don't know, it just strikes a particular note that I don't enjoy.
I think for me, it's also about the expectation of how it would be received, because I think that a fair amount of the points that you raised are acknowledged. Now, meaning no matter how you might feel about jobs being taken, what have you, the contribution of foreign workers to our economy, I think, is an acknowledged thing, which means that when a statement like this is made, I do wonder what kind of political capital is sort of being engineered, right, or is sort of being expected with a statement which kind of puts the onus on foreign workers as being the other, and does it in the context also of a relatively unpopular announcement. Because when we say that this happened, what was it, yesterday, the chicken subsidy, or rather the ceiling price, all that conversations around the various things where subsidies have changed, for instance, cooking oil, all of that kicked into effect on July 1st. So this is coming, or rather this speech is coming pretty quick after something that a lot of people have said would injure them budget-wise. I think the timing of it is also notable.
And I don't know, the naming particularly of foreign workers and Rohingya refugees also seems to indicate a certain thing, right? And it feeds back into the perception that migrant workers or refugees take away resources from locals. And that's a narrative that gets used in a very harmful way. And I feel like it should not be perpetuated, particularly at a time like this when everyone is undergoing the effects of an economic crisis.
So we're going to be exploring this, but but we're also going to be exploring this through the lens of who we mean or who was meant when the phrase foreign worker is used. And I think that that is exemplified in some ways by this tweet from Wael Karsifi, who says, the PM mentioned Bangladeshi workers and Rohingya refugees in particular, but what about the other foreigners, the ones with lighter skin? Do they not eat chicken too? Ask a foreign worker and an expat about Malaysia and hear the difference for yourself. And this is something that I think is going to inform a huge part of our show because, of course, you know, when we say foreigners, really, we should probably be explicit about who exactly we mean when we make these sorts of statements. So I'm just going to say it again. The Prime Minister, basically over the weekend, said that we were scaling back on chicken subsidies because it isn't only Malaysians who benefit. Foreign workers and Rohingyan refugees also benefit. And instead, the money should be redirected to cash aid for the rakyat. And that is a statement that has received a fair amount of attention. We'd like to hear from you. What did you make of the statement? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by Iskandar Fariz, the Communications Director at REFSA. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about foreign workers, more specifically the rights or the access to aid that foreign workers have in our country, what it means to instead focus on Malaysian-only policies. And this is coming after a statement from the PM that the reduced chicken price subsidy was to enable the money to instead be channeled directly to Malaysians through the Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia cash aid, because previously the subsidies meant that everybody could enjoy it, including foreigners and refugees. So we've been asking you, what did you make of the statement? If you'd like to share, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking to us now, really to unpack the statement and also to look at this idea of Malaysian-only policies and how it impacts the way we are viewed, we're joined by Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director at REFSA. Iskandar, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Sharmila and Julian.
So yesterday the PM said, as I've just said, the reduced chicken price subsidy is to enable money to be channeled directly to Malaysians, not benefiting and I quote, freeloading foreigners. What do you make of this?
Well, I think Ismail Sabri is currently facing mounting pressures from different quarters, inside and outside his party, due to the rising prices of goods. So several protests have been organized recently, with more to come, and further edging him towards a corner. So given this backdrop, it's natural for him to find a scapegoat to absolve him from any blame towards stage. Regarding this issue. So PM Ismail Sabri, you have to note that he is no stranger to fanning up racial and religious nationalistic sentiments to advance his political goals. If we remember how Lau Yat Tu and Mara Digital Mall was mooted, it was following a scuffle that turned racial. Then at that time, Rural and Regional Development Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri suggested a Malay-only digital mall, Plaza Lau Yat, but with Malay vendors. So eventually, this venture succumbs to failure as it was riddled with allegations of cronyism and mismanagement. So we are seeing the same thing happening here. Ismail Sabri is trying to redirect anger towards vulnerable communities instead. So it's convenient for him to paint a target towards the foreign workers and refugees because they don't have any voice or bargaining power in this matter.
Politically speaking, then, how do statements like these fare? Is there political capital to be had in shifting the focus to foreign workers?
Well, for Ismail Sabri, he's trying to cover up the failure of the BN and Perikatan National Government under his leadership to combat the issue of rising prices. Primarily, his objective is to rally support and concentrate anger towards whom his supporters see as outsiders, and basically turning them, the outsiders, into the bigger enemy. So basically shifting the goalposts or shifting the focus towards a different issue.
Overall, how would you say the statement has been received? I mean, what kinds of reactions have you been seeing?
Well, obviously, it's a mixed type of reaction for his critics. They would be calling out this insensitive remark, especially when it was made against vulnerable groups such as the lowly paid foreign workers and refugees. Of course, there are also those who are in agreement with this sentiment, particularly the more conservative leaning segments of our society. But at the end of the day, we need to remember that nothing can distract consumers when it comes to the fact of the matter that they are paying more for each of their essential goods day to day. Stalls, restaurants, coffee shops, and other services will inevitably raise prices, and this will hit mainly to their pockets.
How reliant are our blue and white collar foreign workforce on subsidies like this? How much have they benefited from them?
I think that is another question or area that Ismail Sabri want us to discuss on, and it would be not the right question to discuss on or focus on. Foreign workers, they are also contributors to the economy. When they consume, they contribute to the economy. Our traders benefit from it, so do businesses. So statements such as this only further reinforces xenophobia, creates a hostile environment for foreign talents, and thereby creating a less competitive market for Malaysia.
Which sets us up quite neatly, right, for this question, because how reliant are we really on the foreign workforce, whether we're talking about blue or white collar?
So the 12th Malaysia Plan report revealed that at the end of 2020, registered foreign workers in the country numbered close to 1.48 million, which is around 9.9% of the total workforce. However, this number is expected to be much larger because we have not counted for the undocumented foreign workers in the country. So that could be around the same or slightly larger than 1.48 million. So, and when we circle back to the question, with these numbers, it is definitely quite significant to the workforce. So we are definitely reliant to the workforce, foreign workforce. The plantation industry, for example, employs about 750,000 workers, of which 85% are foreigners. The freeze on hiring of foreign workers by the government has definitely impacted this industry very badly in terms of the shortage of workers we are seeing today, which then contributes back the hike in prices. So that because that resulted in a potential production loss of 20 to 30%. So definitely foreign workers have a significant role to play in our economy.
So we collectively and perhaps quite unfairly tend to make a distinction between foreign workers versus expats, right? But if we look at a survey in Expat Insider, 2021 survey, Malaysia was ranked fourth as the best destination for expats to live and work in. How will policies like these, which take a Malaysian-only stance, change how Malaysia is perceived? What does it say about us?
For a while now, I think we have had some sort of a discrimination in terms of policy when it comes to citizen and non-citizen. But what I think is more dangerous here is the narrative and the approach that we are looking at. The xenophobic comments, the xenophobic attitudes that have been adopted mainly by the government could lead to further loss of competitiveness and create a hostile environment for talents to thrive. So when we talk about less of blue-collar workers, that will be bad for agriculture and manufacturing sectors as they are the lifeblood of those industries. When we talk about less white-collar workers, that is bad for retail and services since they are the ones with the higher purchasing power to fuel these sectors. So when I think rather than blaming or scapegoating foreign workers, we should look into how do we reduce reliance on any nationalities, maybe through automation or digitization. At the other end is to increase wages to attract more locals into the industries, improving the skills of our STEM graduates and also the linkages between industries and universities so that we have a cohesive pipeline of talents in the future.
You mentioned competitiveness, right? And this idea that we might not be able to attract talent in the way that we would like to. Basically, might claims like this, on top of the other statements and recent actions by the authorities, act as a deterrent? Do you see it really having that effect of pushing foreign labour away?
It might lead to that. And we need to consider that other countries like our neighbours are not stagnating. They are developing on their own. So when we talk about competitiveness, we cannot just talk in a bubble that Malaysia advance or does not advance, because we have to compare ourselves against our neighbors. So if we don't progress fast enough, it means that we are regressing because other people are progressing at their own pace. And we see other countries like Thailand, Indonesia, and also the Philippines having an extent of social benefit coverage that extend towards non-citizens as well.
If we look at the way we discuss our foreign workforce and the fact that, as we mentioned earlier, blue and white collar workers are sort of spoken about in a very different way. Do you think that this extends to how they're perceived? And then in turn, of course, do our policies then treat blue and white collar workers differently?
So there seems to be, anecdotally, a preferential treatment towards white collar workers, or what we commonly call as expat. Even then, we call them differently. So this attitude perhaps was born from the perception that 3D jobs, those that are difficult, dirty, and dangerous, are less valuable than professional work or those called knowledge workers. This then contributes to discriminatory practices or treatment towards blue-collar foreign workers, and some sort of more preferential treatment in terms of policies towards expats as well. Case in point, we have a policy of Malaysia, my second home for expats. While at the other spectrum, we have minimal protection for blue-collar foreign workers. Some needs, some don't have any decent place of living, to decent abode, and also treatment when they get sick or even get COVID. Last time when we had when it was at the spike of its infection. So these two, when we contrast both of them, it's definitely a stark difference. So we really need to have a thorough reflection on how we manage our foreign labour.
In closing then, Iskandar, is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
So I think what this incident definitely show us is that policy making shouldn't be based on knee-jerk reactions, shouldn't be driven by hype. That will be doomed to failure. And inconsistent messaging, such as what we are seeing now, will only be detrimental to our development. Because Malaysia relies a lot on foreign workforce for both blue-collar and white-collar jobs. But we are also pushing for more legislation and measures, as well adopt attitudes that are for anti-foreign talent. So we need to make up our minds. What do you want to do? What do we want to achieve? And also make sure that we are consistent on it.
Iskandar, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Trillian. Thank you, Sharmila.
That was Iskandar Fariz, the communications director at REFSA, speaking to us about a communication from the Prime Minister, actually, who made a statement essentially saying that we're reducing chicken subsidies so that we can redirect cash aid to Malaysians via Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia, but also because with chicken subsidies, everybody benefits, not just Malaysians, foreign workers, Rohingyas. So, yeah, we've been asking you what you make of the statement. You can call us, you can WhatsApp, tweet. We have messages.
Okay, we have Lee Jun saying, I'd rather subsidize a foreign laborer's meal than the shopping holidays of a minister's son, wife, or relative.
Yeah, and I think that kind of captures the position in some ways, or the contribution that foreign laborers or foreign workers actually have. And it's an important acknowledgement, because in many other ways, they don't really get that, whether it's in terms of policy or even in day-to-day treatment. And so if we get to the point where we're begrudging them the same price chicken as what everybody else has, then I think, you know, we're really somewhere. We also have, Dr. Fazli, who says it should be articulated better. Many of them are poor as well.
Charlotte says something very similar. She says, with food being a basic necessity, I think all residents living in Malaysia should enjoy the subsidy. For that matter, foreign workers may need it even more. Most of them work in labour-intensive industries. They don't have access to many food options. And like what was rightly pointed out, they contribute to our economy. They work in local businesses. If our foreign workers suffer, it will impact the community and the businesses as well.
Yeah. And I think also when we talk about basic necessities and the fact that the prices have gone up on that, there's also, are there sufficient protections for wages, right? So if we take wages specifically for our foreign workforce, so if we take away access to more affordable food, are we going to see anything reflected in terms of the salary that is paid to enable them to then pay the higher prices? You know, it just kind of cascades onwards. But let us know, what did you make of the statement from the Prime Minister regarding chicken subsidies being something that we need to reduce because it isn't only Malaysians who benefit. Foreign workers do as well. Refugees do as well. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today our entire show is really based in many ways on a statement from the Prime Minister that the reduced chicken price subsidy was because it was previously benefiting everybody, including foreign workers as well as refugees. And instead, he wanted to be able to take the savings that we're getting from those reductions and channel it directly to the Malaysian people through the Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia Cash Aid form. And so we've been asking you how you feel about the statement. What did you make of it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be talking about how much aid actually foreign workers have access to. Before that, though, we do have time for some messages.
So let's see. We have an anonymous listener who says, regardless of the subsidy, what we need is to tackle the supply issue. The issue here is not just about subsidies. We need to tackle why this is happening rather than just the subsidy.
Yeah, I think that there have been several attempts, right, in terms of there have been several attempts to address it, whether it is with the kinds of price controls or the conversations around price controls that we've been having. Now, whether or not that is going quickly enough, I'm not sure. And instead, I also think that it's opening up opportunities when the announcements are made for statements like this, which don't necessarily tackle the root issue, but instead circle other things, right? Ame is actually bringing up a similar point, saying, market forces should prevail. No subsidies. Pay people fair wages. If engineering is so great, then why is inflation so high? Ame also added on saying, come on, stop politicizing everything. How is PN responsible for global inflation? We had subsidies all this while, but we're still behind our neighbours. Why is it now that it's advantageous for our neighbours if we remove the subsidies? And so I'm not necessarily certain about the reaction to Perikatan Nasional being responsible for the global inflation, because I don't think that's necessarily the argument that's being made. It's more to do with, in terms of politicization, the ongoing aspects of our political conversation in terms of where we figure foreign workers into that, or where we figure refugees into that.
Gerald says, by that same token, shouldn't we also cut fuel subsidies to stop foreigners from benefiting?
So there it is, right? I think when we talk about subsidies, and it is impossible to have it's impossible to have this conversation in a narrow sense. I think that that's what we're finding, because all these, yeah, but what about that? What about that? All perfectly fair. And in some ways, this show that we're doing right now is a sequel to the show that we had last week and the week before and the week before that, all about subsidies, their role in our country, but also more specifically, if you want to have targeted subsidies, how are you doing that targeting? How are you doing it in a more efficient way? Which, again, similar to the logo story, actually, that we started our show with, is the underlying thing that is beneath the reaction to the statement, right? Is that question of, well, okay, but then how are we going to ensure that things get to where they need to go?
Yeah, so Jessica says, government and GLC should cut down on all unnecessary spending and curb or take action on wastages.
So there we go. One suggestion there that could be taken on. Keep those thoughts coming. We'd like to hear from you. What did you make of the statement that came from the Prime Minister about how chicken subsidies were being reduced because anyone can access them, including foreigners and Rohingya refugees, and instead the savings from that could be given specifically to cash aid for Malaysians? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now going to be looking at the kinds of aid that foreign workers actually have access to in our country. Joining us to do that is Dr. Niaz Asadullah, the Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization and permanent member of the National Agricultural Advisory Council. Dr. Niaz, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So if we look at the statement, right, how do you think that the statement from the Prime Minister will be perceived by our foreign workforce?
Let me first put the discussion in the larger context. There is a worldwide anxiety over food inflation, not just in Malaysia. Everywhere, government's main priority is to ensure national food security. So I can understand the logic of favoring a more targeted approach where budgetary allocations to flagship cash aid schemes that support families who are most vulnerable to rising prices are increased. Besides, there is another reason for this. Many consider price subsidy problematic because it distorts market mechanisms. But that said, I do find the reference to freeloading foreigners rather puzzling. In my own view, this reflects hidden frustration among political leadership over the ongoing chicken price crisis. I say so because even after the ban on export to Singapore, chicken prices haven't stabilized. So therefore, in one way, the migrant workforce is just an easy scapegoat. But again, you know, that said, the statement coming from our Prime Minister on freeloading foreigners will certainly make the taxpaying migrant workforce, you know, feel socially excluded and uncared for. And I should add that everyone is suffering from inflation and the government should care for all.
Now, we are currently, as you said, in the midst of an economic crisis. We're talking about food insecurity. There are initiatives being rolled out to help Malaysians cope. What are some of the more immediate challenges being faced by foreign workers in particular?
Well, you know, so if you think about it, they're in a double trouble because many are involved in manual work in the 3G sector. For them, food is critical for sustaining their labor supply on a day-to-day basis. And also add the fact that they're on minimum wage and food expenses account for a very large share of their monthly budget. The second trouble is that migrant workers also have to ensure food security for left behind members in, you know, of their family in their country of origin. And, you know, as we have pointed out, that this is a global crisis. Food prices are also rising in their country of origin. And the income they're remitting lately has lost value given that ringgit has depreciated in recent months.
So if we look at our country then and its relationship with our foreign workforce, what kind of aid and assistance do foreign workers here have access to?
Not much, really. So it's partly to do with the fact that foreign workers are mostly on contractual employment, so they have very minimal social protection. So this does include schemes such as cover for workplace injury from SOCSO, but you know they don't receive pensions. And also foreign workers don't have access to most of the flagship government social aid and assistance schemes, including the direct cash aid schemes such as monthly, you know, such as recently announced BKM in budget 2022, which is restricted to B40 Malaysian citizens. So therefore, yeah, so not much on paper.
We're speaking today with Dr. Niaz Asadullah, the Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization, permanent member of the National Agricultural Advisory Council, essentially about the kind of aid that foreign workers have access to in Malaysia. We're going to continue that conversation after this. But, of course, all of this is based in a statement by the Prime Minister around the fact that chicken subsidies have been reduced, and that happened because everybody was enjoying them, including foreigners and refugees, and instead it should be redirected. Those savings should be redirected only to Malaysians. So let us know what you think about that, and we'll be back for your messages and also the second half of our conversation with Dr. Niaz after this. You're listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:48 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're continuing our conversation today about chicken subsidies and who should get to enjoy it and what kind of aid we offer our foreign workforce, whether it's going to change the way we're perceived even as a destination country. And we're currently looking at actually what kind of assistance we provide to foreign workers. And we're doing that with Dr. Niaz Asadullah, who's the Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization, among other things. Dr. Niaz, part of our conversation today has actually looked at the difference between how blue and white collar foreign workers are perceived. Now, if we look at that in the context of aid, do these two categories, in many ways, of workers have access to the same kinds of aid and assistance?
Well, in general, most aid schemes are targeted to low-income, low-wage earners, families, individuals. So white-collar workers, when we think about them, it comes to mind individuals who earn well enough to escape working poverty. But of course, we have seen during the pandemic how some M40 families have temporarily fallen into poverty, and why there is this need for, you know, an agile social protection system. But again, you know, when it comes to foreign professionals and workers, it is not really the binary of blue and white that is relevant, because most schemes are targeted for citizens.
Do you think the difference in perception between blue and white collar foreign workers plays a role in the readiness to provide aid to them?
Well, again, you know, there seems to be a great deal of confusion when it comes to the very purpose of social aid, or broadly speaking, the role of a modern state. Who the state should be responsible for and care for, right? And again, it's because of the popular perception that foreign workers and professionals are here in Malaysia by choice. They aren't enough and therefore should be left on their own. It is not the state's business to, you know, care for them beyond providing them access to jobs and minimal other forms of assistance. But I must remind all BFM listeners that access to social protection for all, including migrant workers and refugees, happens to be one of the priorities of United Nations Sustainable Development 2030 Agenda. And the United Nations Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration also recognizes the importance of protecting workers across borders and ensuring that social protection and rights and entitlements are secured for all. In you know, regardless of citizenship. So I think it is a time to sort of reorient ourselves, rethink and reflect on the purpose of aid and the role of the state in designing aid schemes and so on.
Do you think that aid and assistance should be tailored differently for workers from different industries? I mean, are the needs diverse enough and specific enough to warrant this sort of treatment?
That's a good question, because workers are engaged in a range of activities across sectors, which differ in terms of labor intensity, work conditions. So in principle, yes, this can be beneficial, particularly for blue-collar workers who are disproportionately represented in low-pay 3D jobs, where often they work without a rest day and in extremely challenging physical conditions. And I should also add that these workers also live in very impoverished conditions and where they can get injured. But the sad part is that injury outside workplace is not covered by schemes such as SOCSO. So sector and employment specific targeting on paper is a good idea, but of course, you know, assuming that it can be implemented properly.
And in terms of advocacy and speaking up for this sort of aid or assistance, should employers be doing more? What avenues could be explored here?
Well, you know, we have seen time and again that leadership of various employers' associations in Malaysia have been very vocal on migrant worker issues. And if you remember the recent debate over removal of bans on bringing workers from certain countries, They have been very proactive. But unfortunately, they also felt marginalized by our political leaders. So I think that on this particular, you know, issue, the rights and role of foreign workers and who should be responsible, is it the employers or the state? There is certainly a lack of dialogue, and particularly on issues of decent work, broadly speaking. So moving forward, we need to promote more free and frank discussion on labor standards and in particular types of migrant workers and the care provision system we have for them.
Moving forward, what are some immediate reforms you'd like to see for the foreign workforce in terms of aid?
I will start with something very basic, which is to broaden the definition of social protection and move beyond this binary of citizen versus foreign workers. It is simply not helpful. Everyone makes important contribution to nation building. So everyone in Malaysian labor force. So we must sort of start a dialogue on an inclusive system of social safety net that protects all legally employed individuals in Malaysian labor force, because it is very much in the interest of our economy. We are competing with our regional neighbors, Singapore, Thailand, who also critically rely on foreign workers for their economy, and we are in a phase of economic recovery. So I think it is a good economic choice as well that we pursue these social reforms to make foreign workers feel more included as well in our country.
Dr. Niaz, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me again.
That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, the Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization and permanent member of the National Agricultural Advisory Council, speaking to us about what kinds of aid our foreign workforce actually has access to and how we need to rethink our social aid, right, in general, to accommodate, I think, not just them, but in general, people who are needy, people who are needful. Let us know what you think. The show today has its basis in a statement from the Prime Minister. It has to do with chicken subsidies. And he basically said, while at a Kenduri Rakyat event, that essentially the reason why the chicken price subsidy has been reduced is because previously everybody could enjoy it, including foreigners and refugees. And instead, with the savings, we can enable the money to be channeled directly to Malaysians through the Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia Cash Aid, or BKM. So we've been asking you what you think of that, and we've got loads and loads of messages.
Trina says, right to food is an absolutely fundamental human right, so let's get that clear. As a Malaysian, I have zero problems with migrant workers and refugees receiving benefits and subsidies for things that are fundamental to life. As a Malaysian, I have lots of issues with cronies and the elite and the rich exploiting public resources. It is obvious that this is a tactic to scapegoat migrants and refugees, a classic move to distract from the real issues, including food insecurity. Migrant workers pay taxes in the form of levies and don't get social protections. Denying people who are poor and in need of protection from basic subsidies is sickening. Fellow Malaysians, don't get distracted by this framing. Take the people in power to task. Challenge them as to why a country as rich in resources as Malaysia is suffering. They're responsible for making sure all our fundamental rights are fulfilled. We have enough in Malaysia for all of us.
Katrina, that's a great message. And I think that my favorite part of the various extremely good points that you brought up was actually the centering of food being a fundamental human right. Because when we say that they are enjoying, it implies that what are we giving, a car? You know, it's not and then transportation is also, but you know, I'm spiraling, but transportation is also right. My point is that it's not necessarily always constructive to only think of it in terms of contribution to the economy, because that's a fact, right? That they contribute to the economy is a good thing. Ergo, supporting them in that contribution or allowing them to enjoy rights or enjoy the things that we enjoy, good thing. But that's not the only reason why it should be provided for. Fundamental human rights is key.
Vicky, meanwhile, says the PM said he reduced chicken subsidies so as to not benefit foreigners. So what's his reason for reducing the Bantuan Keluarga Malaysia for single disabled Malaysians who live alone? Is it because unmarried, disabled and the elderly don't fall into the Keluarga category? So the payment was reduced to 50 ringgit a month, which is you know, a great point in terms of, well, okay, so who is it meant to benefit then?
Yes. Who is it meant to benefit? And again, I think it goes back to the original question of when there are savings, which are good, and they are redirected to the people who need it, which is good. How are we determining those categories? How are we determining, A, who gets to receive those payments, but subsequently, are they receiving it in a timely way? Is that enough? You know, and I think these are important questions that need to be answered alongside the explanation for why it is that certain subsidies and price controls are being done away with. So let us know, share your thoughts with us. This is what we've been talking about today on Inside Story, the statement from the Prime Minister about chicken subsidies. You can, of course, keep those thoughts coming. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.